Good afternoon, ladies. Today we have a sponsor. The class is dedicated in honor of Rani Grazi by a good friend, Alan Mizrahi. We've been learning different midot and different traits without really relating to the parasha. But this week, the parasha happens to have the intro to today's trait. Yaakov Avinu is blessing his children at the end of his life, and he says, "Raban shinayim yechalav." White teeth is better than milk. It means to smile is important, more important than physical nourishment. Midrash tells us, Lamdu mikan hazal, our rabbis learned from here, Gadol halmalbin shinayim lachaveru, greater is the one who shows the pearly white. I'm sure Artko wouldn't translate it that way, but it means showing the teeth, lachaveru, to his friend, yoter mimashkeo halav, more than one who gives someone milk to drink. And then it explains from a Gemara how that works. When somebody laughs, the teeth show. Kantolo laurea hapanim yafo shachasei oselo mechalav shenotemo. It's better for a guest, the smile a person gives, more than the food one gives. Lefi shaoreach bosh, because a guest has a certain amount of bistechi, they're a little embarrassed. Now they're only first, they don't want to take too much, you gotta, you know, make them eat. And if the host happens to have, we call da'lan, a long face, then they really won't eat. So it's much more important to greet someone with a pleasant countenance. I have no problem in this class. I go to some classes, you know, I gotta look at the crowd and teach them this. But you're all expert in this, so maybe we should just go home now. Okay. You're not under the gun this week. Not your turn. The truth of the matter is that I think people underestimate this trait. It's like some people are pleasant, some people are not. I'm not in the mood today. You know, leave me, see me, I'm not now. Well, who's that person anyhow? Do you know who they are? There's always different reasons why we smile and don't smile. And we don't look at it as something that we should work on. It's a mood. When I'm in the mood, I do it. When I'm not in the mood, pass. But nothing gained and nothing lost. That's the way most people look at this midah. Yet, it's Yaakov Avinu who made this statement. It's very important to understand that Yaakov Avinu, in his last words to his children, that is saying this to one of his dear sons, one of the Shevatim. The great rabbis that followed said this in another way. We have Pirkei Avot, we have Gemara, where it says, for example, Heve mikabel kol ha'adam b'sever panim yafot. You should greet, and who sang it? Shammai. Bet Shammai says, you should greet people with a pleasant countenance. With a pleasant countenance. Very nice. Pirkei Avot is teaching us how to be nice, how to treat people. That's a good place for it. In the Gemara and the Rachot, which I have here on my palm, I looked up this one. Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai, Amru alav Rabban Yochanan Zakkai. Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai was the giant of his generation, a generation of greats. Shelo hiktimo adam shalom eolam. No person ever said shalom to him first. He was always the first with the greeting. Ve'afilu nochri bashuk. Even the goy in the marketplace, he was first. In other words, he respected everybody and jumped the gun in greeting people. Rambam even takes us one step further. Starting to sound a little more important than just what mood I'm in. We know that there's many mitzvot in the Torah. And although they're all from the aspect that they were all given by Hashem to us, we have to do them all. The king told me this is not a matter of a menu I pick and choose. Yet we still see, from the punishments at least, the rewards are not listed, but from the punishments at least, we see that there's different degrees of severity. And Harambam, when he brings the Chot Teshuvah and Abenu Yonah, who writes the whole book called Share Teshuvah, when they list the mitzvot and the things we have to make take into accounting, they tell us that there's many mitzvot that are much more serious than others and we should pay special attention to them. And then very near the top of the list is a thing called Chilul Hashem. Chilul Hashem means desecrating the name of Hashem. And in that aspect, Harambam says, yes, what we think of Chilul Hashem, that a Jew behaves in a manner publicly, not befitting even a human being, and because people know that person's a Jew, it brings about a desecration of Hashem's name. So something horrible. Somebody goes on the news because they did something horrible. And that we say right away, what a Chilul Hashem. For a rabbi to be involved in such a scandal, for a religious Jew to be involved in such a scandal, I, what a Chilul Hashem. And we don't really know what Chilul Hashem means, which is a different topic we might talk about next week, because I have to do that subject this week anyhow. But Rambam says that there are many aspects to Chilul Hashem. Yesh devarim acherim shehem bechlal Chilul Hashem. He says there's other things that fit the category of desecrating God's name. Perhaps the person doesn't speak pleasantly with other people. He's a little nasty. He's a little snappy. Ve'eno mikabelam b'sever panim yafot. And he doesn't greet people with a pleasant countenance. Ella, instead, what is this person? Baal kitatavaka. He's a contentious, I think the word is, a person always picking on things and fighting with people, and short-tempered. If a person speaks pleasantly to others, and a person is in with the other people nicely, umekabelam, the words of Rambam, b'sever panim yafot, and greets them with a pleasant countenance, to the point where people praise that person for their pleasant nature, not only isn't it a Chilul Hashem, the Kiddush Hashem. Now we say people went to their graves al Kiddush Hashem. People would not convert in crusades. They died al Kiddush Hashem to sanctify Hashem's name. We think of Kiddush Hashem as this fantastic, brave act that left a certain situation for very few individuals. Here Harambam is changing our attitude and he's telling us Kiddush Hashem and Chilul Hashem, which is the major sin of the Torah and the major mitzvah of the Torah, is contingent not only on major acts of bravery in the face of persecution, but how you act day to day. How do you behave? And how does your behavior reflect on Hashem? You know, I know we try, especially here in America, we try very hard to blend in. It's a country of tolerance. You're allowed to let it be. You're allowed to be yourself. Yet when we try and express ourselves in our own way, what do? We go with the flow, the fashion. What's the fashion? We try and fit the fashion. If mauve is a color, we all go buy mauve sweaters. Pardon me. It's very old. I remember one year I was trying to give a class mentioning to people how we do, how if I watch the audience in my classes, I'll know what the bargain stores will be selling next year because they copy what the better stores have this year. I could tell you next year's color. I used to be in that business, making garments. And although my quality or fit may not have always been the best because of the price I had to deliver and the factories I had to deal with, the buyers always would tell me, you know, your color is always right on. Little did they know, because I gave classes to women from our community, and if you just take a quick look at 50 women, you'll see there's only two colors. And those are next year's fashion colors. This year they're the high fashion colors, next year the fashion colors, in 2 years they'll be the budget colors, because we'll be into something else. So we like to blend in, and we like to fit in, and maybe we lose sight of the fact that everybody else knows we're Jewish. They know it, don't they? You call the tree service. He comes to the backyard. I remember this happened to me. And I'm wearing jeans and a t-shirt. I'm getting ready to take the sukkah out of the thing, and I see a problem with the tree hanging over. So I call the tree service. And the guy comes over, has no education in Judaism. He looks up and he tells me, you know, you want to cut this tree, but this other tree may be a problem for your sukkah. Where are you going to put it? He knows. Sukkot is coming. Everybody calls me for the tree service. We go do things that demonstrate that we're Jewish, besides the nose in the middle of our face, and they know we're Jewish. So now we have to be careful how we behave. That's what Harambam is teaching us. That the Gemara says in Yom HaDafeh 86a, it says that people look at how people behave, and Chilul Hashem and Kiddush Hashem is based on how they perceive the behavior of a Jewish person. Why? They attribute our behavior to our knowledge of Torah. Our Torah was given to us by Hashem. Since we are the people of the book, and they assume, observe what's written in it, if we behave in a fashion that's very impolite or rude, must be that our Torah and our Hashem, Chas v'Shalom, it's Pasuk to say, taught us that. And if we behave in a nice way, and we behave in a generous way, in a kind way, I'll tell you an interesting story. Lately, Lo Aleinu, there's been many incidences of people coming down with horrible sicknesses. And of course, we try in many ways to get the people from our community the best medical care they can get. We all believe in Hashem and the Tehillim, but we still have to do our Hishtadlut and find the best help. Well, there was somebody that I know who wanted to go to the special hospital for the special treatment. And I'll leave out details so nobody puts the story together, but it's true. And finally, based on the medical reports, the doctor, a very big specialist out of town, agreed to see our friend. But the schedule was 3-4 weeks down the road. And we were watching as the situation deteriorated right in front of our eyes. So somebody said, you know, the doctor, once he accepted to treat him, probably would move him up in the schedule, but you'll need somebody influential with the hospital to at least put in a word for you. So what we do? We started making phone calls, but this is not New York, and it's out of town, and what are we going to do? We don't know anybody. So we started to think who would be the people that might know people, and of course we go to our community. We're a community of business people. We're a community of travelers. any major metropolitan area has people that we buy or sell or no, and we started thinking to network. To make a long story short, we called up a major chain store magnate in one of the cities where this hospital had to be located. And he was a very nice man, a Gentile, not of our faith. And we told him, you know, you're in this town, gotta be that you have some influence at the hospital. We have a friend, he's a very important man. He's been accepted for treatment, but we'd like to see if maybe with a word we can bring him down sooner. It seems to be getting more serious every day. Could you help us? What do you think his answer was? Maybe I could. But why don't you call, and I'll change the name, Harry Cohen. Harry Cohen? We didn't think of him. Well, Harry Cohen is the other chain store based in this town. And Harry Cohen is Jewish, and they give a lot of charity. Jewish people give a lot of charity. So this slightly or non-observant person was known to be the one in the town who was more likely to have supported the hospital and other causes in town, and he's probably better suited to make that important phone call, which he did and did get in, and that's Baruch Hashem. But look at what this person's behavior created. An image that it's the Jewish people who are charitable. Now, is that a Kiddush Hashem or a Chilul Hashem? It's Kiddush Hashem. Because his day-to-day behavior created impressions that our Torah teaches you the right way to be. Comes out Rambam and says, it doesn't only apply, as we might think, to situations of persecution, of giving up your life, chas v'shalom, standing in the face of war, death. Kiddush Hashem is a matter of smiling. And now we know why Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the great of his generation, they couldn't think of anything else to praise him with in the Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the great, the leader of all the Jewish people, they couldn't, you know what they said about him? Nobody ever said good morning to him first. He was always first to say good morning. Why did he feel that was so important? Because he knew how I behave is very important to Hashem's image here on earth. How I behave is important to how people will look at Jews in general, the Torah, and ultimately Hashem. And my job is to be Hashem's ambassador. My job is to represent Hashem, His Torah, and our people in a way that would make people realize it's the right way. It's the fine way. It's the way of justice, of fairness. Tirachea Darche Noam Ekor Netiroteh Shalom. The Torah's ways are ways of pleasantness, and all its paths are paths of peace. That's what we have to represent. So when I told you Beit Shammai said Heve Mikabel Ekor HaAdam B'Sever Panim Yafot, be the one who greets every person with a pleasant countenance. Does everybody know the story of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel? Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel were two major yeshivas in the times of the Mishnah. And in almost all the times that they had a dispute about a specific halakha, we follow the opinion of Beit Hillel. Simply it's because we followed a majority and it was a bigger yeshiva. But philosophically, people say, we follow them because they were much more pleasant and much more understanding and much more lenient. They followed the way of the path of be a little easier. Where Beit Shammai was known to be tougher. They say in the times of Mashiach, We will follow the opinion of Beit Shammai, because our Yetzara will be weaker, and we'll all want to do better, and we'll all want to follow the strict opinion and do what's more difficult to do, because we're going to be sterling characters after the Mashiach comes. Everything's going to be so clear. So we'll follow Beit Shammai. But look at this. In Pirkei Avot, along comes Beit Shammai, and what does he tell us? Hevei mikabel et kol ha'adam b'sever panim yafot. Be the one who greets everyone with a pleasant countenance. You would think that Hillel would say that. The nice yeshiva with all the nice people, with the lenient laws, with the pleasant ways. The tough guy. That's who says it. Teaches us a lesson. That the deen, the minimum, is to follow Beit Shammai, not the maximum. And you must greet, call Ha'adam, B'sever, Parim, Yafor. It's a must. It's not a strictness that can be looked at lightly. It's the minimum. Where does this apply? We found out it's important, found out it's vital, and we found out it involves Kiddush Hashem and Chilul Hashem. So we have to now understand how to put it into practice. When we do Chesed, and Baruch Hashem, there's no community of Chesed like ours. We're into Chesed. Chesed is in. We volunteer our services, our time, we donate our money to make sure everyone's needs are taken care of as best as they could be. It's an individual thing, it's a community thing, it's an organizational thing. Chesed is very big. This is very important. Chesed is one of the key nidot. It's nidah of Abraham. But doing Chesed is important. But how you do Chesed is even more important. There's a yisod, a principle, that in doing chesed, you have to apply this rule of sever panim yafot. What does this mean, by the way? Sever panim yafot. Sivara means a thought process or an opinion. Panim means face, and yafot means pretty. What does sever mean? Why does it just say, greet people with a smile? Be nice, and we'll make a little yellow face, we'll put a smile on it, we'll say, greet people this way, we'll make bumper stickers. Why does it say sever panim yafot? Because in order to do this properly, you need sever. The first step is to understand the other person. The other person is A, above all, a person. And all people were created b'tzelem Elokim, in the image of Hashem. That was before they were Yehudim and Goyim. There was a thing called Tzelem Elokim, a touch of the heavenly countenance on the face of every human being. I have to look for that. I have to understand that I'm dealing with another person. I may not be in the mood for that person. We'll get to that a little bit later. That person rubbed me the wrong way. Rabbi, you don't know what that person did to me. We have a lot of problems with this. Not as much as I am and I like listen, but we have problems with this. You're telling me be nice to everybody. Call Adam. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai did it even with the Nochri in the shuk, the goy in the marketplace, the garbage man and the postman and the cashier and the receptionist in the doctor's office. Well, then, we don't want to go there. So sever means first I have to understand who I'm dealing with. Because if I understand the greatness of the human being in general, and that this person is part of the human race in particular, when I start with that sivara, with that thought process, then I could lift my panim face to face, my face. I told somebody I was going to speak about the subject and he said, he's a young rabbi in our community, and his father is a rabbi. And he told me, you know, when I was younger, a man said Shabbat Shalom to me, and I had my face down, and I answered Shabbat Shalom without lifting my face and looking them in the eye. You don't know the speech I got from my father. How important it is to look at a person when you speak to them. To show them contact, eye contact. To be in touch with them, to show them your panim, your face. And to look at their panim. So that's the second step of the requirement. First, seber, understand them. Second, panim, show the face. And third, comes yachot. The face can't be the mood you're really in. The face has to be pleasant in all situations. Now, sometimes I say things, now this class became a series, I notice a lot of face changes as the class goes on. In the hour that we're together, I get smiles, I get frowns, I get two eyebrows meeting in the middle, right over the nose bridge, you know, sometimes I say something and all the eyebrows go to the middle, that can't be, what does he mean? I get agreement and disagreement in your face, so your face tells a lot. So you have to be sure when you're greeting someone that your face says, hi, how are you, I like you, I care about you, you're nice, I love you. And it's not subject to your moods. It's subject to a minimum as required and given to us through Beit Shammai, the strict one. So when we have guests, for example, practical application, we have guests. Guests could be under many circumstances. Sometimes even when we invited, we were in the mood, but by the time the day comes, we're not in the mood. Or we thought we could handle a weekend and we wish it was one day. Things happen. Situations change. I didn't know the baby was going to be sick and I was going to be up the night before. I didn't know this. I didn't know they were bringing 17 people with them. I didn't know. I accepted. They said Shabbaton. I saw two girls. I found out it's 20 girls. I don't know. Sometimes you have guests that you thought you'd be in the mood for, but your mood changed. Something happened in your family, Lalin. Or maybe your husband didn't speak nicely to you in the morning. Chas v'shalom. But your mood changes, and now these people are a burden. You can't show it. When you have guests, you have to greet the guests with a pleasantness that makes the guests feel comfortable, welcome, and wanted. Tov aruchat yerek b'ahar Hashem says the wisest of all men, Shlomo HaMelech, better is, well today this is definitely better. Better a salad with love than, oh boy, this is nobody, a fatted ox that's an eyeball with dislike. Now let's say, you know, the menus were reversed, but maybe I should reverse the words here. Better meat that we don't want to eat with love than a salad served with all the dressings. Low fat, low calorie, all that stuff. A grilled tuna on top, a grilled salmon. But what is Shlomo HaMelech saying? Who is Shlomo talking about when he writes this pasuk? Better a cheap meal of vegetables with love, served with safe and love and pleasantness, than a magnificent, expensive meal, bisin abo, where a person feels dislike. People who know Sefer Melachim know that Shlomo HaMelech was not a king who reigned steady throughout. Once he became king, he was king forever. It was a period when Shlomo HaMelech lost his throne and had to travel around as a beggar, going from place to place in exile. Shlomo HaMelech came to a rich man during that period in his life. And the rich man invited him to come in and dine in his mansion. The king came in, and the man brought him all the delicacies of the time, a very expensive meal. And during the meal, he happened to mention to him you remember when you were king, how you used to do this and this, and how you handled that and the other? Shlomo HaMelech felt badly. It depressed him a little bit to think, I was once the king, and now I'm in this exile. And he cried. So the words of the host brought unhappiness to the king in exile, in spite of all the luxury and honor he was treating him with. 2 days later, the king was invited in by a very poor peasant. And the peasant served him a few vegetables from his garden. The man spoke to him a little bit differently. Adoni HaMelech, my dear king, remember the words that Hashem promised your father. When he made him king, he swore that the Malchut Beit David will never be replaced. And not only that, I feel that this exile is temporary, and your day will return, and you'll rise to power, and will benefit from your wisdom again. And so many people are praying for your return, because they realize the justice that came from your wisdom and how much you care for them, etc., etc., etc. He consoled him in his time of exile. Eventually, Shlomo HaMelech became king again and was restored to his throne. And that's when he wrote, Tov Aruch HaDerech Ve'Ahav Hashem Mishor Abus, it's an Abo. Better is the meal I had by the poor man's house, where he showed consideration and love for me, than the meal I had in luxury with someone who brought up my pain and suffering. The wisest of all men telling us how you greet and how you treat is what's important, not what you give and what you serve. But it is important, but not as important. On our Mishnah and Avot, accept everyone with a pleasant countenance. Chazal say, Ketzad, how is that accomplished? If a person gives someone everything of luxury in this world that you can give, Ufanav kibushim ba'aretz, but with a long chin that's hitting the ground, I like that kibushim. His face is on the floor, meaning he has a long face. Ma'ali alav akatuv. How does the pasuk look at this person? Ki ilulo nasan lo kilum, as if he gave him nothing. So all your expense went to waste. But, says Avot Rabbi Natan, if someone treats someone pleasantly and doesn't give them anything, the Torah looks at it and writes in Shamayim, you gave him everything. You know, Hashem taught us this, that a little could be a lot. What does beracha mean? Blessing, good. What blessing? What's the source of the word beracha? What's a bidecha? A pool or a fountain. A mayan is a bidecha too. Shefa, plenty, is bidecha. But plenty can be satisfying, and plenty can be a burden. How could that be? There's a famous parasha about bitachon called Shemitah. Your veil. That the Jewish people used to work 6 years, rest in the seventh year. They were agricultural country, close the farm for a year, come back in the first year of the new cycle, and after doing it seven times, the 49th year, which is the last seven of seven, and the 50th year, they wouldn't work. And the Torah says, and if you should ask manocha, If you're going to say, what should we eat? If we don't work as farmers in the seventh year, what are we going to eat in the eighth year? And when it comes seventh and eighth, we don't work. What are we going to eat in the ninth year? So the Torah answers, I will command my blessing in the sixth year. And you'll have enough to eat from the sixth year harvest to the seventh and eighth until you have a crop. Beautiful. But the Mefarshim ask, what's the question? If a person normally has 500 bushels of wheat in their farm, and in the sixth year they see that by March they have 500 bushels, so by the end of the year they'll probably have 1500 bushels, what are they asking? What are we going to eat? You're going to eat from all this bounty that Hashem sent, from all the extra that grew this year. And if you see the extra growing, what are you asking? What am I going to eat? Take a look, buddy. You normally live on 500 bushels. You got 1,000 already. And there's more to come. So what are you asking? That's the question the Mephoshim asks. So the answer that's brought is very instructional to us. Beracha means blessing. A beracha also means that the blessing is in a little bit. When a little bit, ochel kim'ah, when you eat a little bit and you're satisfied, not only is it good for your diet, that's called beracha. Why? The person who's asking, Hashem sent hundreds and hundreds of bushels in that year. You know what he had to do? He had to work overtime. He had to hire extra workers. The extra workers are not trained, he had to train them. He had to get extra trucking. He had to take public warehouses, which is a wajara to any business, because he had to have a place to put all this wheat. And the one who had bitachon and Hashem and didn't ask, Hashem sent them the same 500 bushels, except it seemed like all of a sudden, instead of eating 10 bushels a week for the 500 in a year, we were eating 3 bushels a week, and we were satisfied. Beracha means if I give a little and I put blessing in it, it's nicer than I give you a lot with no blessing. Hashem showed us that. So he wants to teach us there in regard to this, that when a person serves another, when a person does chesed for another, it's not contingent on the quantity. It's contingent on the quality. If you give and show you care, you show panim, you show yafot, you show sever, understanding, the person on the end is so much more appreciative and so much more accepting. It was a rabbi. Called Rav Shalom Shwadron, Zecher Tzadik Uvracha. I used to come to New York on a regular basis. It was okay to see him praying with the Vatikim Minyan many times. And he passed away 3 years ago. He was known as the Magid of Yerushalayim. All these Magid books now that we have were based on the fact that he was a Magid, is a storyteller with a lesson. Tells fables that have a lesson, or stories that have a lesson. He said he heard this story from someone, another great rabbi. He said one time, in his visits to the Gedolim, to go visit great rabbis all the time, this young rabbi wanted to learn how to behave from them. Gadol Shimu Shomitah, sometimes sitting down and having a class from a book is not as good as seeing how a rabbi acts. And if he acts in the right way, I say, well, I'm gonna copy that. I admire that. That's very good for our personal development. That's why you should always hang around with good people. So I like hanging around with your father. Seriously, I watch him behave, and it's just a lesson in midot. I won't say his name on the tape, he'll yell at me. But those of you here, see who I'm speaking with, her father, is a very special person in midot. I don't know, I see him under pressure, he seems calm, cool, pleasant,
respectful, doesn't raise less than me though. So people used to like to visit rabbis and hang around with great rabbis because the great rabbis who incorporate the Torah in their being, it's a great way to learn. So he went to visit rabbis. One time, he went to see a rabbi called Rabbi Reuven Kelem. He went to this place called Kelem and he visited Rabbi Reuven. Maletsky was his name, Zechat Ibracha. And this rabbi went to visit another person. They banged on the door and they heard inside the footsteps running to the door. He opened the door, the man inside, and when he saw this young person at the door, he started hugging him and he brought him in and he started treating him like a king. With Shalom Aleichem, and what would you like? Would you like a piece of food? Would you like something? Please sit down, not over here, sit in my chair. As if he was an old acquaintance who he had great respect for. Then they went for a walk, arm in arm. Great rabbi walking with this young person. And he asked him, how you doing? What's your problem? The observer said that after watching this scene for 10 or 15 minutes, and listening to the rabbi ask about the family and personal problems and how can I help you, and thinking from the behavior that this was an old acquaintance or a relative, the great rabbi asked the young man, by the way, who are you? He had no idea what. But it was a person. A person who came to see him. And if a person came to see me, that person is special to me. And I have to treat them as if they are special. But I want to get to a problem now. We got to deal with problems in this class. Otherwise, it's no fun, right? I don't like the guy. She rubbed me the wrong way. And now you're telling me, call Adam. I got to do this with everybody. Do me a favor. In this class, we're a small group. We like each other. It's easy. You want me to do this with everybody at a wedding? You know, I see at weddings. I see people I wouldn't even talk to at weddings. I mean, just because she's invited by my cousin doesn't mean I like her. And how about that guy who I had that rough business deal with? And boy, did he put me through the ringer. And I still feel I got beat. You want me to greet him with a pleasant countenance and show him that I care for him and I love him? Bet Shammai, the minimum? You know what I feel like doing to him? How are we supposed to deal with that? In the Iri, who was one of the great Rishonim of Torah and a Posek Halacha, explained the whole Gemara. He says, even kasher b'libo, in his heart, eno mechabeb et peloni, a person doesn't really find this person endearing to them. Or, this one you're going to love in this community, his attitudes and beliefs and hashkafot don't agree with mine. Why, that black had to be had in between. I don't speak the same language. Or even worse, you still have to greet the person pleasantly. Greet him happily. How, you might ask? So says the Ne'ili, you have to understand the language of the Mishnah. It says, doesn't say Haver, Haver Mikabel Kol Adam. It doesn't say greet every person with a pleasant countenance. I fooled you. I translated it incorrectly. Haver Mikabel et Kol Ha Adam. Please be accepting of the whole person
with a pleasant face. What does that mean? It means, so to speak, there's a lot of people who have negatives that outweigh their positives, and there's a lot of people that have positives that outweigh their negatives. But there's very few people who don't have any positives. There's a guy who's nasty, there's a guy who's tough, he doesn't treat his wife right, but he's charitable. There's a person who treats their wife nicely, but they're stingy. But somewhere in this person, there's some good. I know a lot of people, myself included, who have a lot of negatives and have some positives. What's expected? It's expected of us to look for the positives. To have dan et kol ha'adam, and to the mekabel et kol ha'adam. Look at the total person. Search. Find something you can feel positively about. And then you can greet them with a pleasant... Don't focus on the shortcomings. Focus on the positives. And that will answer another question. You want me to be two-faced? Doesn't the Torah say it's asur to be echad baper, echad balev? To be one way with the mouth and another with the heart? Doesn't it say I can't do that? True. But I'm not doing that if I find something I can honestly respect. There was a person recently who I can honestly say, I like telling personal stories, so you people don't take it personal. Hey, what happened to me? A person has an incident with me, and I felt, which I'm not supposed to feel, but I guess in a moment of gaava, I felt that that person insulted me. Happens. I'm not supposed to get insulted because who am I? Whatever you say is okay, and that's the ideal. But I guess in a moment of conceit, I felt that what right does this person have to speak to me this way? Why did they talk to me this way? Why did they treat me this way? Why did they say this about me? I was insulted. And the words were, I guess not loud, but a little sharp, and we separated. I really never mentioned it to anybody. And one time this person's brother spoke to me, and we were talking about something else, and he mentioned the word my brother, and I said, you know, I feel badly that something happened between you and me and your brother. And I feel badly that it happened, but I feel worse that it was left that way. And I haven't seen him since, and he hasn't seen me, and I don't know if he's holding a grudge or not, but, you know, I feel badly that it even happened. I don't know if word got back to the brother or not, through the brother, but sometime later, and I mean sometime like a couple of months later, I get an email. And the email is maybe one of the longest emails I ever got in my life, because emails for impatient people who want to write one or two lines and be done with it. And it explained the whole situation and how they got involved in the conversation and why they told me that and why I'm wrong and why that. But really, it should be rewind. I should find out. I should check. Blah, blah, blah. I read it. I looked at it. I said, you know, it's a few months now. What am I supposed to do here? If I answer, am I going to end up with another fight? If I don't answer, am I going to insult? What should I do? Let me think about it. So you leave emails on the open folder file. It doesn't go away till you delete or do something with it. So I left it there. What I did notice was that the email address was based on reference to one of the chesed organizations in our community. And I said, you know, I heard this guy's involved with them. But I never realized he felt so strongly about it that he made it his screen name. Let's say it wasn't, but let's say it said Bikur Cholim 18. And what did that do for me? That night, after not seeing him for maybe 8 or 10 weeks,
I go to a wedding, and that person's at the wedding, and who knows if we would have spoken, but it was one of those situations where you're going in the door and he's coming out of the door, and there's no right, no left. And I looked at this person positively, and I thought, Bikur Cholim, I didn't think about the incident, because if I did, I might have screamed. I thought, Bikur Cholim guy. How you doing? I got your email. I didn't get a chance to answer it. He said, that's okay. How you doing? And we kept walking. How was I able to do it? The fact that his screen name highlighted to me something positive about him, and I started to focus on the positive rather than the negative. When the lightning bolt hit, and there he was in front of me, I saw Bikur Cholim volunteer, not a person who insulted me. You getting that one? So what do I have to do? I have to do this with everybody. I have to look for the good in everybody. And if I do that, I can fulfill my duty of greeting people positively. I could learn to do what's expected. Tzedakah has to be given with a pleasant countenance. How many people send a check out with a secretary? They don't accept the person in their law. They're busy, okay. But if you made a day for people to come, and the person came, and now you're busy, it's true they got the check. It's the same as when he gives the check. The man I spoke about earlier, how many times I mentioned, have you seen this man for tzedakah? You know what they tell me? Tzaddik. Tzaddik. Oh, Rabbi, they go to hundreds of offices. Tzaddik, tzaddik. What do you mean? The way he greeted me, the way he picked up the phone and called other people for me, the way he made me feel special. And I go to the lobby and there's 25 other rabbis waiting to see him. He made me feel so special. It says when you give tzedakah, you get 6 berachot. And when you give tzedakah with a smile or a kind word, you get 11 berachot. The machloket, the dispute as to how to understand that Gemara, is whether the 11 is 5 additional, or it's 11 additional for a total 17. But one thing is clear, more beracha comes to the one. Same amount of money. Less money with a smile is better than more money with a frown. True story. In my office, very busy, and the fact that rabbis came all the time for tzedakah was a pleasure to us, but he still needed a system. So I said, you know, one time I was a little curt, a little, how could you come now, I'm so busy, I couldn't accept that. I felt badly about it. I said, you know, I gotta make a system. So what was my system? Every day we stopped for mincha. So we stopped for mincha anyhow. Let me leave a note at the front desk in beautiful Hebrew, Lashon HaKodesh. We love to see you. It's difficult to stop during the day, during business hours. However, we do invite you to the minyan, and if there's a few minutes before or after the minyan, I'll be available to see you. And sure enough, every day we get 3, 4, 5, 10, 5 different rabbis who came to pray with us, and to perhaps get a check. One day I come in and I see, and that was my new thing. When I came into the minyan, I start to scan. Regular, last year, Rosh Hashiva, who should I talk to first? If you have a big gadol, you don't keep him waiting. If you have a gadol, this guy left. And one day I come in, and I look and I see a man. Looks fishy. We'll see why later. Looks fishy, I don't know. Ah, but here's the Rosh Hashiva, we'll see him first. This guy's been coming every year, I know him, I can take care of him quickly. I start setting up my mind, the system for after this. Hi, Kadavi Kadash, we pray, we finish. See the people, who's left in the room? The one man and me. Yes, can I help you? And of course, it's letters, Shalit's own letter from rabbis in Israel. The man comes. He says, I'm here. My wife is very ill. We're here for special treatments. We have a letter. He takes out a crumpled letter. I don't know how good it looks, how bad it looks. I don't know the rabbi wrote it. But somehow his story got through to me. He needs some help.
and he's really here, it's not an institution that's going to come all the time. Can I do my best since he's here one time? You know, whether he's legitimate or not, gotta give him. I sit down, I write a check, I give it to him, and I say, you know something, I was wrong for suspecting him. Put my arm on his shoulder, and I said, what's your name again? He told me his name. I said, I want you to know, Hashem will take care of your wife will be alright. He got a tear in his eye when I said the word wife, and he left. Nice story. I didn't think anything of it. The next day there were 5 more rabbis, next day 6 more rabbis, and it goes on. The only time we had a break was Chol HaMoed Pesach, Chol HaMoed Sukkot, there's nobody coming. The rest of the year, every day of the year, about 3 years later, come into Minyan, my tie, scan the room, I look in the corner, there he is. He told me one time. Maybe he was a fake. Can't be. Oh, how did he fool me? How did he sell me? And I go back to my suspicions. I wait, the Minyan ends, take care of that. That who's left in the room? Yeah. I make like I don't remember him. I tell him, hi, how are you? Can I help you? He says, yes. Do you remember me? I said, vaguely, were you here before? I didn't lie. I said, were you here before? Tell me yes, tell me no. Tell me yes, I was. I said, and why are you here today? He says, well, I'm not here for what I was here before. I was here then because my wife was very ill. And I want you to know it was the hardest time of my life. I didn't have money. I was very concerned. I came to New York. I didn't know anybody. I started going from office to office like a beggar. That's not my way. I'm a respected person in Israel. But I remembered when all was said and done how you treated me. And I came back now for follow-up treatments because my wife, Baruch Hashem, is better. And all she needs is follow-up checkups and treatments. And since we're in New York, I made a point to come back to your office to tell you that all the time that I was going around, nobody asked me my name and nobody said she'll be all right. And you were the only one who told me, don't worry. Well, now that I was 1.5 inches tall, standing in my office with a tear in my eye, I thought, it was my name. I'm in tears in my office from the thank you he gave me. And what I thought of at that moment was every Gemara has a Peshat, has a simple meaning. And I thought, why is it that a person who gives a kind word with a $10 check should get more beracha than a person who just plainly gives a $100 check? And from this man's reaction, 3 years later, I realized the vegetables with a smile, the check with love, the greeting is so important to the person's ego, to their demeanor, to their feeling. You're saving a life. You're creating a person. You're bringing happiness into the world when you greet a person. When you greet a person pleasantly. One more Rav Shvadron story and we're complete. One time a person was walking Rav Shvadron and they went to the yeshiva in Ponovich and Bnei Brak, and a person was coming towards him, and the person saw Rabbi Shvadron coming. And he ran towards the rabbi in obvious glee and happiness. And Rav Shvadron ran towards him, and it looked like a commercial for something special. They were both running towards each other. The music was playing. They were so happy to see each other. And when they came together, each one hugged the other, and the person started talking to Rav Shvadron, and Rav Shvadron started asking personal questions, and this went on for several minutes. The young man didn't recognize the person. And now he was marrying into Rav Shvadron's family. So he told Rosh Chodron, who was that relative that I didn't meet at the meeting of the family or the Lachaim, whatever they call it? How come I didn't meet them yet? He said, that person, I know you a little better than them. He says, no, not about them. So why do you treat him so special? He says, well, from the way the person greeted me, I assumed that he knew me. And I realized if he felt he knew me, I have to react to him like I know him. Because otherwise we get insulted or embarrassed. So I didn't want to disappoint them. So I continued the charade just to make him feel good. This is connecting with people. It requires your service, your sensitivity, and your thought process. It requires the faith that you show. And it should be your thought. Because the Torah is what we represent. And how we deal with people is going to reflect on our Torah. And how our Torah is seen by others is going to reflect on our Hashem. And how we were brought into this world and our mission in life, the most important thing you have to do is to increase Kivot Shemayim Ba'olam. The Nikdashti, the Toch B'nai Yisrael. To bring Kiddush Hashem into the world through your behavior. Not your spectacular feats in the face of persecution. In your day-to-day conduct. In the supermarket, in the restaurant, in the house, with the strangers, with the service people, the people we deal with every day, get an impression of what our Torah is about and what our Hashem teaches us through the way we behave. Yidatzon, we learn to behave, the Sefer, Tanim, Yafot, and we spread that glow to others around us. So we bring a big Kiddush Hashem that people say, the Jewish people know what it's about. They're the ones who know how to behave. They're the ones who know how to act. Because Hashem taught them how to act in His Torah. And that proves how great and true the Torah is.